Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Welcome back. What a happy Friday. Great weather we're having. And I believe is it officially summer? I think after Memorial Day weekend, they say, hey, summer started. But I don't think it starts officially. Is the word astronomically? What are we calling it? Planically? Calendarically? According to the calendar? Calendarically? That's probably not a word, Chris. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe summer officially starts June 21st or some shit like that. But I think the pools are open. The pools are open. The sundresses are being worn. It's fucking summer, people. What's going on, everybody? As usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell somebody about my podcast. Help me grow it. I got a couple new followers on Podbean. I'm killing it. I'm up to like 4 listeners. So that money's going to be rolling in here soon. Sponsors, all that type of shit. Rolling in. But milestone for the week. For those who don't know, I have a 5-year-old son. His name is Miles. And every week I like to do a milestone. The milestone is he's gone for the summer and he told us he never wants to come back. he says he wants to stay in Rochester forever. But he said forever, but if he comes back, he'll come back in August. So he's having a great time. He's been gone. We left a week ago. But we got back Monday. So he hasn't been gone for a week yet. The first couple of days were rough for me. I can't lie. This has been the toughest time. It's just weird not having him here. He's always working on projects. He's always got construction paper and scissors and writing books and doing this. And this. I just miss having him around. But it is nice to sleep in, to have the bed to yourself, just you and your wife. But he seems to be having a good time. And I know it's completely different here in Virginia, where it's just us three. And there he's completely surrounded by family. And we got a lot of stuff to do this summer. We plan on moving to Atlanta at the end of the year. And so it's just a lot of stuff around the house I got to get done. My yard looks like fucking Jurassic Park. It's not good. I got to get it done. And I hate it. We live out in the sticks and there's all types of lizards and snakes and shit. And I don't like dealing with yard work. So, but I definitely don't want to pay like $800 to have people come out and do it. But, I got that kind of stuff to do. But, all right, there's a milestone. Sorry. I kind of went off on a rant there. But, yeah, I mean, this is much needed time for the wife and I. And this is what I'm going to call my hyperdrive summer. I've got a lot to do. I've got a huge life-changing event happening at the end of the year, and I need to be prepared. So my hyperdrive summer will consist of, I mean, as much comedy and driving that I can pack into each week. Without ignoring my wife and working out and spending quality time with her. So I'm gonna try to be all over the place, you know. I got stuff booked up to August, but now I need to get more local shit. I got some road work booked out, so I'm looking forward to that. But I've got some deadlines to meet. I got a couple irons in the fire. I got people helping me out. I have some things that I need to accomplish this summer, and it makes things 1,000 times easier with my parents, you know, taking him. And so I'm looking forward to a lot of comedy and spending a lot of time with my wife and us doing things like movies and all that kind of stuff. So So my last week, I think I mentioned, yeah, when I recorded, I was in Rochester in my sister's room. So I'm obviously back now. I hadn't done the show yet. So I'll tell you about that. I had a great time. I want to thank everybody that came out. All my friends and my family came out. Had a great turnout. Wasn't sold out, but it almost was. So I really appreciate all my friends and family that showed up. I want to thank Mark Ippolito for having me and Suresh, the club owner, for taking a chance on me. That was it's a huge step and a huge milestone and accomplishment and achievement. Honor to go back home after 10 years and headline the show. As you know, I'm very tough on myself comedically. I had a great set, but I was talking to my wife last night, and where I want to be comedy wise, I can't say I'm starting at the bottom, but where I want to be, I can't just wing it anymore. I can close out a bar show and do 40 minutes and do crowd work and all this kind of stuff, but it's time for me to be a legit headliner, 55 minutes, 60 minutes of straight material, and I feel like I'm a little behind the power curve. So but I had a great set, but yeah, where I am now, there's no more, I'll figure it out. Or I don't know what I want to do. I'll figure it out when I get up there. I'm not at that point where I can do that with 50 minutes, at a club. Like I said, I'll do that shit on a bar show. But now, the money's different. Not that I'm killing it like that, but You gotta be a fucking professional. At a bar show, there's somewhat of an element of I can kind of fuck around and play around. But when the lights are on in a club, they got the sound guy and people in uniforms, it's completely different. So, I'm at that point now where it's just like, let me step back. Because I remember, having to really prepare for 5 minutes. Then you get used to that, and it's just like, I'll figure it out. Then 10, then 15, and, you're watching your buddies start to feature, and they're getting prepared, but then you run into a guy who's been doing it for a while, and they're, nervous, but they're like, oh, shit, I don't even have a set prepared. And in your mind as a new comic, you're like, how do you not know what you want to do, and you have 25 minutes to fill? I would be freaking out about 10 minutes. I remember being that guy, surprised at someone not prepared or someone who hadn't written a set or knew what they wanted to do for a 25 minute spot. And I've gotten to that point where it's just like 25 minutes, I'll figure it out. But now it's just like, all right, 45, 50. And now it's like, oh shit, I have to write a set. It has to have an order. It has to be cohesive. It has to flow. It has to make sense. There has to be some type of I don't want to say through line, but I have to walk people through this in the most effective and efficient way possible. How do I get the maximum laughs? Do I do these jokes first and then get into this? So it's just like when I say I'm starting from the bottom, I mean all right, I'm starting from ground zero again at the next level where I want to be, and I'm not saying I got featuring, I still got to work on that shit too, because I want to have a legit 25, stone cold, do it in my sleep, and I'm still tweaking stuff. But for that 45, 50, it's just like, all right, motherfucker, you got to focus, and you got to zone in, you got to tune it in. And yeah, I'm back to square one. So that's a little new. It's a little scary. But I plan on working on that. And all right, I got off track. Fuck. This is so comedy heavy. So comedy heavy. I'm sorry. But Saturday afternoon, my buddy TJ and Winston Hodges show up. I got TJ featuring. I got Winston doing a guest spot. My buddy Todd is emceeing. And another guy, Malcolm Whitfield, he's doing another guest spot. So we go to my sister's gender reveal party. Have a great time. She's having a girl. I'm excited. Chloe, she should have used a CH, but she used a KH. I'm not happy about that. But kidding. But we had a great time. It was nice seeing the whole family. You know, just have seeing Miles around his cousins was great. Just I kind of miss being around family, but I keep saying kind of. I guess when I think of living in Rochester, that's kind of a turnoff. But I miss being around family, and it was a fun time. I just love seeing Miles with his cousins and family, and just running around, the bikes and the soccer balls and all that kind of stuff. Just like I grew up, you know. He's getting that, and so they come in town. They stop by the barbecue. They grab some food. Go to the hotel. I leave the party early, get showered, get changed, show up to the club. Malcolm shows up, Todd's there. We go back and see the room, and you know, it's ready to go, and it's showtime. Todd goes up, he has a great set. I want to say that Malcolm went up, good set. Winston goes up, good set. TJ, good set, and I go up. I have a good set too. Overall, great show. Mark Ippolito seemed happy. Suresh seemed happy. Everyone seemed to enjoy the show. Again, I'm tough on myself. It wasn't as cohesive as I would have liked it. I get in my head, but I had fun. I can't lie, I had fun. It felt great. I took a lot of pictures with my family. And I took TJ and Winston to the distillery, got some wings. Mine were baked. I'm not doing fried food, so it felt good to do the headliner thing and take your guys out to eat afterwards. But it was just an overall great experience. And then that Sunday, I got to do a podcast with Todd Girlson, Matt, and Craig. So that was fun. A lot of fun, man. It's called Hate This Podcast. When it comes out, I'll post it. Had a great talk with those guys for about an hour and a half. It was a lot of fun. Great studio down there. So that was fun. And to kind of get that treatment when you go home, people treat you like a bigger deal than you really are. It's flattering. It's cute. But I'm a fucking nobody, man. I really am. I'm just another comic just trying to get it together. And I know it looks cooler than it is, because I get to hang out with some pretty big comics, and I made some connections. But I'm just some fucking shithead hanging on on the fringes there. But it is fun, and I get to learn a lot by hanging out with those guys, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the love everyone shows me when I go home. Other comics that come out, I really appreciate it. It means a lot. And had a great time. And then I had the opportunity last night to headline the Richmond Funny Bone last night. And that one was interesting. That room, that's probably one of the toughest rooms, man. That crowd on Thursdays and Sundays, they just don't want to fucking be there, it seems like. But I had Brandon Beswick and Paige Campbell there. Also had Winston featuring. So it was nice having guys that I knew. Come out. A couple other local guys came out and hung out. My wife was there. That's a fun thing. That's what's really fun about having Miles not here for the summer is it's like old times. When I first started, my wife basically came to every show, and for the last 5 years, she's come sporadically, sexually and comedically. Kidding. But she doesn't get to come as much because of Miles, and it's fun. She was there for the first open mic, and for her to be at my two headlining shows, and then especially for the first one at a club, it's pretty insane. I can't lie, it wasn't as great as I wanted it to be. But again, I'm in my fucking head. I never think I'm good enough. I never. And I got reamed out the entire car ride home about my confidence level, my way of thinking. But I'm not an overconfident person when it comes to comedy. I always feel like I could have done better. I could have done better. It's not good enough. And I never go into a show like, this is going to go great. I can't do it. I can't. I know that sounds bad. Like I tell my wife, the best I can do is I'm prepared. I've taken care of my end. And whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But I'm prepared for I've done my part. So we'll see what happens. That's the best I can do, man. That is the best I can do. I feel like anything beyond that is cockiness, and I'm setting myself up for complete failure. But again, I apologize for this being so comedy heavy, but there's been a lot going on. So I guess I can talk about it. I don't know how people feel about hearing about it, but it was great to have those guys there. I did not bomb. I got some good laughs, but it was just really up and down. You had to work. And I can't ask for a better place, to be honest. If I step back and take my feelings out of it, how I feel as a comic, how it feels to not get laughs, if I step back and go, all right, just from a, and this sounds very technical, but from a training aspect, from an experience aspect, and if I was talking to someone else and giving them advice, I would go, you know what, that's a great place to learn a headline, because you're gonna have to work. It's gonna make you better. And I know I would tell somebody that every day, all day, but it's so hard when you're amongst the trees, you know. So that's what I have to tell myself. It's a tough room. It's a tough room. They expect a certain kind of comedy. When you don't deliver it, they're not really on board. But you gotta work to get them on your side. You gotta get them on your side and stay true to yourself. That's exactly what I would tell somebody else. So I'm looking forward to the next opportunity. And like I said earlier, I just have to make sure I'm writing my sets. I know where I want to go. I have to be deliberate. And I just got to know the entire time, I'm not going to have them on a 10 the entire time. But it's learning to put those lulls strategically in my set to where they affect my overall performance and funniness of the show the least. So it's not just getting up there running off at the mouth, people. It's a lot more involved in that. And now that I feel like I'm moving up to that, I'm creeping up to that next tier, I'm going to be learning a lot. And to be honest, that's the best part about comedy is learning. Because I remember when I first started, it was just so much fun learning, you know, new things. But when you're doing 5-minute sets, it's completely different. And, you know, you kind of know what you're doing. And you're 20 minutes in, halfway through, and you know, like, this isn't going well. I don't know what jokes they'll have that I have that'll get them back. And knowing that you still got 25 more minutes, and it's just learning to just weather that storm, you know, and get out of it and get out with your fucking life. But see, I take that back. I don't feel bad about this being a comedy heavy podcast, because I've been going in hard lately with all the politics and shit. And I guess this is the change of pace. So I guess for the last minute or two. So thanks, everybody, for listening to me talk about this comedy stuff and the thoughts that are going through my head. Shout out to my wife for, you know, kind of talking me off the ledge. But, you know, and the whole freaking out thing and me doubting everything that I'm doing on the car ride home, that's part of the process. That's part of it for me. But to have her there to, like, hey, this one show, everything's not, you know, you're not going to kill every time. Everything, it's not always going to go the way you want to go, but, you know, you got to have a more positive outlook on what you're doing. You know, that's the kind of shit that I need to hear. But we've talked about it for the last couple of days now on social media, the whole Roseanne Barr thing. Look, I'll give my couple minutes on it, and I'm pretty sure you've heard all the takes, but She said what she said. She owned up to it. But then she goes, I was tweeting on Ambien. It's like, it's whatever it is. You can't, when you're in charge of shit, you just can't run off at the mouth saying what you want to say. And so many people nowadays do that shit, especially when they start getting this political backing. They feel like they could just say whatever they feel like they can say whatever they want. And the mouth gets too big. And they end up saying dumb shit. And I had somebody try to like, well, if a black person said that, it's like, look, would that be racist? And the thing is, that's not what happened. And also, there are certain things that people can say to one another that it doesn't carry the same weight. It is what it is. It's just, you got to watch your mouth. Like, the person who asked that to me, I was like, well, if your wife was fat, and I was like, hey, your wife's a fat bitch, I mean, how would you take that? I mean, yeah, this woman looks kind of look like an ape, but do you say the shit? Yeah, your wife's fat. Do I say your wife's fat? Especially when you got dozens of people working underneath you. You got key grips and writers and lighting people and makeup people, producers. Yeah, those people aren't working. I'm pretty sure they put them on something else, but they're not working right now. And I don't feel bad. And when you take that hard right stance of everybody is super sensitive nowadays and people can't take jokes, and you get upset about jokes, and you call for people's jobs because you feel like, you know, liberals are getting away with this. And you call for people's jobs, and you applaud when people lose their jobs. And when you fall victim to that, then so be it. Was it racist? I have no idea what her intent was, but whenever you are a white person and you call any person of color an ape or a monkey, that shit's going to come across as racist. No matter what your intent is, that's going to be the perception of your quote-unquote joke. Now, if Roseanne stayed true to her comedic roots and didn't try to talk shit about Michelle Wolf, I think she might have had more comics on her side. Like, hey, you know what? She was trying to be funny. Everyone can see the comparison, but she's got a history. And then again, she took this hard right stance, and she came out against another comic, so it's just one of those things that, hey, you turn your back on your tribe, and then when you're in the shit, and it's your turn to get lynched, or you hold your feet to the fire, no comics are gonna step in to save you or speak on your behalf. So, well. Blame it on the Ambien, blame it on whatever. Yeah, that's my two cents. I feel like I wasted time. That wasn't even very impactful at all. So, all right. Well, there's the show. That's the show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN. That Roseanne piece was weak. I should have left it out. All right. Peace.